want to one more time say thanks to John Gormley and Doug Richardson, both great guests. I love it's so hard. I have to tell you, it's so hard to prepare for those segments because I know I could ask one question and then sit back and drink coffee and just let them go. So you try and hit on as many topics as you can. But boy, both of those fellas certainly passionate about things. And at the end of the day, I mean, this reminds me of any time we talk politics is regardless of political lean, we all want the best for our country, the best for our family, the best. We all want the best things. Where we differ is in how we get there. And we saw that loud and clear during the lead up to the election this spring. We had both of those two, along with Kathy Sproul, on as part of a federal election panel. And the three of them back then, and no different than today with John and Doug in studio. I mean, they off air, they can joke, they can talk about golf games, they can talk about grandchildren. And then we get on air and we start talking about politics and the views might separate a little bit, and I like it. So I'm very appreciative of those fellows being willing to join us, and I feel like we probably just skimmed the surface of where we could have gone with the conversation, but nonetheless, thank you both for joining us. Well, over the last few days, I've mentioned now a couple of times, I love the ability to get home and harvest. And I mean, I'm the truck driver is my job. I sit in the grain truck, haul the grain. We were harvesting and combining canola over the last few days. So that was my treks back and forth from the field to the bin yard to dump the canola. We moved the auger a few times, which is always a good sign. If you're filling bins, that's a good sign. And so we were able to do that as well. But while you're out there, I mean, sometimes it's the ancillary stuff, right? The number of deer, the number of field mice, snakes, hawks, you name it. I mean, wildlife is everywhere out there. And I love when you're sitting quietly in the truck, of course, you observe this stuff. Not to mention the night sky. At nighttime, in the middle of a dark field, nothing illuminates the sky better. Those stars are more bright. The moon is as bright as ever when you are sitting in the middle of a dark field. And I think sometimes, you know, living now most of my adult life in the city, you sometimes forget that. You almost fail to realize how bright and brilliant that sky can be. And if you're watching closely, you might have seen something a little different over the last little while. A Starlink satellite has been tracked by astronomers who say it was spotted in Calgary and could be somewhere over mid-Saskatchewan. In fact, there's a chance that debris has fallen from the satellite and landed on property in this province. And this is not a once-in-a-blue-moon event. We know the space junk has fallen in Saskatchewan before. Remember massive charred fragments of that Starlink satellite discovered on a farm near Ituna about a year ago. So to help us make sense of what's happening overhead, to guide farmers to be able to spot fallen pieces of space junk, I'm happy to have Dr. Samantha Lawler joining me, Associate Professor of Astronomy at the University of Regina. Samantha, hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello. Nice to be here again. Although I wish SpaceX would kind of stop dropping stuff on us.
I was just painting the picture of the beautiful night sky. I know you live in rural Sask, am I right?
Yeah. So I get that sky. I appreciate it every single night.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So let's talk about this Starlink re-entry. Do we know that it was over our province?
Yeah. So thanks to really great just cell phone footage from people in Calgary all the way through to Saskatoon, there's quite a good record of this object's re-entry. So this happened on Monday night, Tuesday morning, kind of around midnight. It looks like if pieces made it to the ground, they would have landed somewhere east of Saskatoon. So the ground track, the orbit projected onto the ground, goes from just like a few miles south of Saskatoon up through a straight line that continues east east and a little to the north up to just north of Humboldt. So along that line is kind of the most likely place to find debris. I know there is a team at the Global Meteor Network who are trying to pin down the possible location more precisely. Of course, SpaceX says these burn up completely and no pieces make it to the ground. But yeah, like you mentioned, I saw there's been a piece of a Starlink satellite that was found near Hodgeville, and pieces of a Crew Dragon trunk, a totally different spacecraft, near Ituna last year, right?
Right.
So SpaceX is getting real good at targeting us.
Well, and I mean, there's no better time of the year. Everybody's out in the field, and they're out in the field at night, so the possibility of this landing and someone finding it is probably as good now as ever.
Yeah. And this is a really good opportunity for just kind of checking SpaceX's claims, right? Like, they say this is safe, don't worry about it, it's totally not going to hit anybody on the ground. But like, I've seen pieces of spacecraft that they say will burn up completely. So I would really appreciate anybody east of Saskatoon, when you're out in your field, like if you notice a piece of metal sitting on top of the stubble, please reach out to me. I have an email address, spacejunk@outerspaceinstitute.ca. So the Outer Space Institute is a group of space experts that I'm a part of, working to keep our use of outer space safe and sustainable, right? Like, satellites are incredibly useful. We want to keep using them, but we also want to make sure that companies do it safely.
Did you say .ca?
Yeah, spacejunk@outerspaceinstitute.ca.
Okay.
And also, I need to mention, if you have any safety concerns at all, like if you don't want to pick up the piece, you should call the RCMP,
right,
because they will know how to deal with it safely. Right. Like the Starlink satellite, there's nothing radioactive on it. There's not supposed to be any weird chemicals or anything, but like, you know, rocket fuel is not like good for you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, this isn't something that you should just go, you know, pick up and eat your dinner off of it. Right. Like this is definitely like, it's not unsafe, but it's also not, not something that you want to be, totally blasé about.
Right. Samantha Lawler is my guest from the University of Regina, Associate Professor of Astronomy. You've mentioned a couple of cases where they've been found in Saskatchewan, a couple of I would say farmers' fields. I don't want to say remote locations, because this is very much a hub of activity. These rural areas, there are farmers working in these fields as this is happening. Are we in a path that this is happening, or is this common now in other parts of the world too?
Yeah, so there's one or two Starlink reentries are happening per day, right? Like there's 8,500 of them in orbit. And so I think part of the reason that we're seeing it more in Saskatchewan is because people are outside and looking up, and we have fantastic skies here. So people notice these reentries. People also notice the debris on the ground, right? Like, we are in the perfect place to find space debris, because we have so many fields, that get reduced to stubble at least once a year, right? So it's the perfect place to find pieces of metal that aren't supposed to be there. Also, we're under the densest band of satellites, like, just because of the orbits that have been chosen by SpaceX. The highest density is right over our heads, so that make here on the southern prairies. So that makes it more likely that the reentries will happen here.
Is there something distinguishable about, you know, a piece of space junk when it falls, or does it look like just another charred piece of metal that could have fallen off of an implement years ago?
Yeah, that's the tricky part, right? So it's the pieces that I have seen, right? So the pieces of the Crew Dragon trunk were huge and were very obviously melted on the edges, and that was very clear they were space debris. The piece of the Starlink satellite, if I had seen that laying on the side of the road, I would not have assumed it was space debris, right? It looks like kind of a sort of melted, slightly burned piece of metal. So yeah, it totally looks like something that could have fallen off of a truck. So if you find something and you just want to say, hey, could this possibly be space junk? Again, please send an email, send a picture of it to spacejunk@outerspaceinstitute.ca, and I will be very happy to take a look and let you know what I think.
Yeah. Is there regulation as to what people should do if they find this on their land? Is there anything that governs what people should do?
Yeah, so the Canadian Space Agency is working on this. But yeah, right now the rules are like nation to nation, right? So once something is launched into space, it is governed by the Outer Space Treaty, which was set up back in the Apollo space race days, right? So it says that when something is launched from U.S. soil, whether it's by a private company or the U.S. government, the U.S. government is absolutely liable for any damage that happens in other countries when it hits the ground. So yeah, it's not clear. We saw with the Ituna reentry, SpaceX actually sent a couple of employees in a rented U-Haul to pick up the pieces. They gave the farmers who found pieces some money. The SpaceX employees did not answer a single question and didn't say a single word the whole time they were there.
I'm picturing the Men in Black, you know, where they've got the beam that erases your memory.
I mean, I have no memory of that, so I can't confirm, but they were not wearing black suits, at least.
Yeah.
It could have been weirder, but yeah. So we're really, like, we're just learning about how this works now as more stuff falls on us and as more farmers have to deal with it.
You know, I've asked you this question before, Samantha, and I'm always appreciative you're gracious enough to come on the program numerous times when we have a topic like this. But I see a texter, Doris, on the text line saying, is there a danger that people could get hurt by this falling debris? I've asked you the question before, but I think it's worth asking again.
Yeah. So I would say, anybody who's listening to this right now, your odds individually of getting hit by space debris are basically zero, right? Like, don't go out and get a helmet or anything. But every time there's a reentry like this, we're kind of rolling a dice, and eventually someone somewhere in the world is going to get killed by space debris, and it's a completely preventable death, and that's horrible. Right. But like I said, the odds of any individual person getting hit are zero. This isn't something that you need to like prepare for. It's something that we need to be aware of and improve the safety regulations around our use of outer space, because right now they're terrible. Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
And I know that's a big part of your advocacy, is to try and drive government towards regulating in many ways. We can put regulations in place here, but this is a global issue.
Exactly. Yeah. Wherever you launch a satellite from, it flies over many countries all over the world, and it could fall on many countries all over the world. So yeah, this absolutely has to be done at the international level, but it's so slow. So right now, all we can do is document what's happening and work with that. So once again, everybody who's out there east of Saskatoon, keep an eye out, and I'd love to hear from you if you find anything.
Okay, I've got your email here reminding people, spacejunk@outerspaceinstitute.ca, correct?
Perfect.
Anything else we should be watching for in the skies other than space junk these days, Samantha?
Oh, so we're close to the equinox, and we're at solar maximum, so now is the best time to watch for auroras. We had a really good show, what was that, like a week and a half ago, and we can expect more. The sun is very active right now. There's a whole bunch of sunspots, so we could have another eruption and a great aurora show at any time, and just because of the configuration of Earth's magnetic field at the equinox, where we are right now, it makes it more likely we'll get a beautiful show with any kind of eruption on the sun.
Good stuff. Well, Samantha, we always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. Clear skies, everybody.
Samantha Lawler, Associate Professor of Astronomy at the University of Regina. I just love how passionate she is. I was thinking as she's talking, she's the crocodile hunter of the stars, right? Like, she just gets so into it. I love it and love having her on the program. So reminder again for people, as she targeted the Saskatoon and then east towards Humboldt, there is a possibility as a result of the Starlink satellite reentry into the atmosphere, if it didn't all burn up, there's the possibility of a piece of space junk that could have landed, whether it's a farmer's field, a ditch beside the highway, whatever the case may be. She would love to hear from you if you find something. Space junk at outerspaceinstitute.ca. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.